And Oloan from the CFNR Newsroom, I'm Sabrina Spencer. The Terrace RCMP are asking for the public's assistance in identifying a man involved in a hit-and-run that occurred on March 24th in the parking lot of the Skeena Mall. Around that time, a white cube van struck an unoccupied vehicle and left the scene. The incident was captured on surveillance video showing both the vehicle and the suspected driver. The male suspect was seen near the van before it drove off. The van has visible front-end damage and was caught on camera from multiple angles. Police are hoping somebody will recognize the man or the vehicle involved. Anyone with information is urged to contact the Terrace RCMP at 250-638-7400. Police are continuing to investigate and encourage the public to come forward with any details that might help identify the suspect. Terrace RCMP have released images and are available on our website at cfnrfm.ca. Skeena Resources has filed its environmental assessment application for the SK Creek Gold-Silver Project with BC's Environmental Assessment Office and the Tel-10 central government. The revised application, completed April 14th, marks a major step towards restarting mining at the historic site. The company says it remains on track to receive its environmental certificate by the end of this year and expects to file a joint permit application under the BC Mines and Environmental Management Act later this month. SK Creek is projected to generate $14 billion in GDP and $3.6 billion in tax revenue over its life. It's expected to create nearly 950 direct jobs during peak construction and more than 31,000 person years of employment overall. The mine will also produce critical metals, positioning it as Canada's largest silver producer. Skeena also congratulated Nalane Morin, VP of Environment and Regulatory Affairs, on receiving the King Charles III Coronation Medal for her leadership and contributions to the sector. A powerful new documentary titled Nations Rising has been released by Nations Royalty and the Nisga'a Nation, highlighting the Nisga'a's leadership in Indigenous economic self-determination and the founding of Nations Royalty, now Canada's largest majority Indigenous-owned public company. The film explores how the Nisga'a Nation's long-standing commitment to prosperity and autonomy led to the creation of a company that helps Indigenous communities build wealth through natural resource royalties. It also marks a significant milestone in economic reconciliation, showing how Indigenous groups can access capital markets and retain control of their resources. Nations Rising will be celebrated with a launch event in Toronto on April 28th during the First Nations Major Project Coalition annual conference. The full documentary and trailer is available now at nationsroyalty.com. Residents in the Skeena-Bulkley Valley can hear directly from candidates at a series of public forums starting tonight. The All Candidates Forum takes place at Houston Community Hall, with doors opening at 6:30 and the forum starting at 7. Confirmed participants include NDP incumbent Taylor Backrack, Rod Taylor of the Christian Heritage Party, and Conservative candidate Ellis Ross. A second forum will be held tomorrow in Burns Lake at the Burns Lake Heritage Church. Doors open at 5:30 and the forum begins at 6. Both events are open to the public. The final forum is scheduled next week, Tuesday, April 23rd, at the Lester Center of the Arts in Prince Rupert. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the forum begins at 7. All five candidates, including Liberal, Interpol Dillon, and Green Party's Andrea Young, are expected to attend. Voters can submit questions in advance online. The Gitxaala Nation has elected its new leadership following yesterday's general election. Linda Innes was elected chief counselor with 238 votes, finishing 43 votes ahead of runner-up Bruce Watkinson, who received 195 votes. Brenda Innes was elected deputy chief counselor with 209 votes, narrowly defeating Elmer Moody Sr., who earned 191, an 18-vote difference. Jamie Angus Davis secured the youth councillor seat with 222 votes, and the four available councillor positions went to Jocelyn Lewis, Gail Watkinson, Rowena Ridley, and Elliot Moody, received the highest number of votes and have been elected to serve the nation for the next 3 years. A total of 568 ballots were cast, including in-person, online, and mail-in votes. Spoiled ballots ranged from 0 to 10 across various races. The election was overseen by One Feather and conducted in accordance with the Gitxaala Nation Custom Election Code. As temperatures rise, British Columbians are being urged to get ready for increased risk flooding, droughts, and wildfires. The province's snowpack is at 79% of normal, and melting snow combined with rainfall could lead to spring flooding, especially in low-lying areas. Persistent dry conditions and low precipitation have also raised concerns about a potentially severe drought season. The province is updating its drought and water scarcity response plan and encouraging communities to conserve water now. Wildfire risks remain high due to ongoing drought. The BC Wildfire Service is preparing for an active season and calling on residents to follow fire smart practices to help protect their homes. People are urging to prepare emergency kits and grab-and-go bags, making household emergency plans, and register for emergency support services. The province has boosted support for evacuees, including quicker access to aid and accommodations during emergency. Preparedness is key to managing in the months ahead. Today is Advice Care Planning Day in Prince Rupert, officially recognized by the city to raise awareness about the importance of making medical wishes known before an emergency happens. The day encourages residents to consider who would speak for them if they were suddenly unable to communicate due to illness or injury. Hospice volunteers were available today at Northern Savings Credit Union and Acropolis Manor. They offered information and materials to help people begin their own care plans. Advice care planning involves choosing a trusted person to make health decisions on your behalf and putting those choices in writing. It's a step that can ease stress and confusion for families and health professionals during critical moments. The City of Prince Rupert, in partnership with the local hospice society, is encouraging all residents to take time today to start the conversation. The Bank of Canada is holding its key interest rate at 2.75%, holding off on additional economic support as uncertainty over the U.S. tariffs continue to cloud the outlook. Governor Tiff Malcolm said officials considered a cut but decided to wait for more clarity on U.S. trade policy. Inflation has risen 2.3%, and while the bank has already lowered rates by 2.25 percentage points since last June, it remains cautious about further moves. Economists are divided on what comes next. Some expect a rate cut in June, while others believe the bank will stay on hold through the year, citing inflation concerns and potential new fiscal policies. The bank's latest report outlines two possible scenarios, one where tariffs ease and the impact is limited, and another where prolonged trade conflict triggers a recession and pushes inflation above 3%. For now, the bank is staying flexible as it monitors risks in an uncertain global trade environment. At a political forum in Kitimat, candidates debate key issues impacting Canadians, with the cost of living crisis taking center stage. NDP MP incumbent Taylor Bachrach called for expanding federal programs like dental care and pharmacare to ease household burdens, arguing for stronger protections for workers and affordable housing. Conservative Ellis Ross blamed the federal carbon tax for driving inflation and emphasized the need to reform immigration to fill labor shortages without straining housing and services. Christian Heritage Party Rod Taylor took aim at government debate and spending, calling for a simplified tax system and limits on foreign home buyers. The forum, hosted by the Kitimat Chamber of Commerce, highlighted stark differences in economic approaches as candidates addressed community concerns ranging from inflation to social policy. All three participants offered sharply contrasting versions for addressing financial pressures, reflecting the broader national debate on affordability, energy, and government priorities. Immigration policy and economic development took center stage as candidates at a Kitimat forum tackled labor shortages, housing pressure, and industrial growth. Conservative Ellis Ross called for a revamped immigration system to better match skilled workers with job openings, while warning that high population growth without housing infrastructure leads to strain on communities. Christian Heritage Party Rod Taylor argued for prioritizing Canadian workers through new job training programs and criticized current policies for neglecting housing and healthcare needs. NDP incumbent Taylor Bachrach pushed back against what he called scapegoating, defending immigration's role in supporting local businesses and advocating for better support for international students and temporary workers. The candidates also discussed secondary industries, with Taylor emphasizing value-added manufacturing and reducing red tape. The exchange showcased diverging views on how to balance economic growth with population planning, as all candidates agreed Canada must strengthen domestic production and reduce dependency on raw exports. The forum underscored the complexity of integrating economic and immigration policies. As the forum wrapped up, Taylor Bachrach emphasized the need to transition to clean energy while protecting workers through community benefit agreements and fair environmental regulations. Ellis Ross countered with a push for energy independence, warning that excessive regulation and opposition from environmental groups are stalling key projects and threatening Canada's economic future. Ross also raised concerns about Arctic sovereignty and amid global tensions, particularly with Russia. Rod Taylor dismissed climate alarmism, defended fossil fuels, and argued for a return to Christian values in policymaking. The debate touched on continuous federal policies, including the oil tanker memorandum and carbon taxes, drawing sharp lines between the candidates. Discussions also included calls for greater support for Alberta's energy sector and reducing intra-provincial trade barriers. With the April 28th vote approaching, the forum gave voters a clear look at how each candidate would steer the country through growing environmental, economic, and geopolitical challenges. For CFNR News, I'm Sabrina Spencer.